Rabbi told us on Pei Alpha Amud Aleph, one of the major kulos, and the Gemara had gone on to give a story with Rav Yosef and Rav Bibi that made a few things clear. L'chora. Number one, appeared to make it clear that Baal Be'ir is a heter, not just a patur onshin, despite the fact that Rashi and the Tosas Riyah Zakin appear to say that the Baal Be'ir is in mutter. It's just it's less of an isser, so there's no onesh. As Ein Choshesh in Lahalkos, but as Tosas points out, the story makes it pretty clear that Baal Be'ir is heter gamer, because the Gemara wonders why is Rav Yosef concerned with the yichud. Why does Rav Yosef say, yeah, we have to solve the problem by confining Rav Bibi to the second floor by taking the ladder away? There's no yichud problem anyways, because apparently Rav Yosef was leaving the home but staying in town. And the Gemara's response was not, well, Baal Be'ir makes it, you know, a lower level listener, but doesn't make it mutter, number one. Number two, the Gemara did not say that was Rabbi Rav Yosef disagrees. So it seems from that story, number one, that Baal Be'ir is a heter, not just a patur onshin, despite the fact that Chavrat pointed out that the Pizchei Tshuva in Sivkat and Vav mentions Achronim, particularly the Birkei Yosef, the Chidon, the Birkei Yosef, who has other Gemaras that do seem to indicate like Rashi, but that story, certainly Tosas points out, indicates against Rashi, indicates that Baal Be'ir is number one, the Baal Be'ir is a heter. Number two, the Baal Be'ir is a heter that is muskam. It's not mutav machlokas. Even though the Gemara said, Rabbah says Baal Be'ir, Rav Yosef says Pesach Pasuach, you could have imagined that means they argue over which one works. And you see clearly that the very next story is with Rav Yosef. The Gemara assumes that Rav Yosef also holds of Baal Be'ir. And number three, point number three that you see from that story, the overt point to that story, is that Baal Be'ir does have an exception. Baal Be'ir is only in play when it's Ein Libo Gaspa. But if it's Libo Gaspa, if the married woman and the man with whom she's having Yichud, if the two of them are already familiar, they're already comfortable with one another, Libo Gaisabe, so that eliminates that Libo Gaspa neutralizes the power of Baal Be'ir. Ad Kan, Devarei Gemara, we looked at Shulchan Aruch yesterday, we saw in the light of Shulchan Aruch, we saw the Nosei Kelim, the Chalukas Machlokas, Beis Shmuel both mentions Machlokas Rashi Tosas, and that the Beis Shmuel in particular indicates that he thinks the Shulchan Aruch is aligned with Tosas, and we notice, because when the Shulchan Aruch talks about Libo Gaspa, his line is, well, by Libo Gaspa, Yichud is Aser, implying that when I said initially Baal Be'ir and Choshen, means that Baal Be'ir is typically Mutter. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein raises the following scenario. And this takes us back to a different era in American Jewish history. I'll take questions soon. Takes us back to a different era in American Jewish history. So Moshe Feinstein lived, as you know, on the Lower East Side in the middle of the 20th century. So he says, picture the following scenario. Couple lives in a tenement on the Lower East Side. Where else do Jews live but in a tenement on the Lower East Side? And the husband goes to work every day in the garment district. Where else does a Jew work but in the garment district? So a couple, you know, 30s, 40s. Is there a concern of yichud if someone's going to come to the apartment? Mr. Schneider went up, took the train, you know, uptown to the garment district. Mrs. Schneider is in the apartment. And someone is coming, the plumber is coming to do some work in the apartment. Electrician is coming to do some work in the apartment. Or some other scenario. Someone's going to be in the apartment alone with Mrs. Schneider. So they say, Baal Be'ir. Baal Be'ir. So Rav Moshe raises the question, is that Baal Be'ir or is it not Baal Be'ir? After all, what would you say?
Not a question.
Okay. So what would you say about this?
I'd say not be.
Not be what? Why?
Depends. I mean, I'm assuming he's working regular hours, so I know when he's not going to be home, so it doesn't really...
So Akiva says, look, he's in the sweatshops for whatever it is, 10, 12, 14 hours. She knows he's not coming home anytime soon. If Moshe says, if Lo Dai Bazeh, you know, even if he left now, he hops on a train, it's going to take 45 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes for him to get home from the garment, to get to the train, and from the take the train downtown to the Lower East Side, then get from the train station to his apartment. So that's a long time. So there's no baila b'ir. There's no baila b'ir. That's what Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in Igros Moshe. Take a look at the Pesachei Tshuva in Sifkat and Zayin. He quotes earlier, Pesachei Tshuva was composed, I believe, in the 1800s. And the Pesachei Tshuva, just to know who we're looking at, I think we may have already met the Pesachei Tshuva earlier in the year. The Pesachei Tshuva, the Shulchan Aruch Ramah in the middle of the page, the Gemara position, were written in the 1500s. The major Noseh Kalim that around in Rashi and Tosa's position, which for Evan Ezer is Chalkas Mechalkin Gebe Shmuel, are, I believe, 1600s. Maybe early 1700s, I think they're 1600s. So the Pesachei Tshuva is in the 1800s, and he's trying to update, give you a summary of what's been written over the last 200 years, particularly in Tshuva literature. And the Rav Eisenstadt, the Yekesh Rav, who wrote the Pesachei Tshuva, had an incredible skill of being able to take a Tshuva that's 3 pages long and summarize it in 3 lines and capture so much of the guts of the Tshuva and so much of the language of the tshuva. It's remarkable. I was looking recently, maybe we'll get to this later in the year, Yeridei Siman Kuf Mem Aleph is a siman about art and sculpture. A din that appears at the end of Parshas Yisro, Lo Sasan Iti, what you are and are not allowed to draw, what you are and are not allowed to sculpt, human figures, and the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on and so forth. So there's the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkan Yud Yud Aleph, because it's a very fascinating story. It seems like there are a lot of political layers to it. This rabbi came to Amsterdam, new rabbi, and someone who was a booster for the new rabbi wanted to promote the new rabbi. So he struck coins. This fellow, private Jew in Amsterdam, Dutch Jew, struck coins with the face of the new rabbi and was like giving them out. So that way everyone is sort of like a business card, or giving out free water bottles with your business name on it. So these were like promotional items for the rabbi. Fascinating. So he quotes, so Tshuva quotes that the Yaakov Emden has a tshuva in Shelos Yavetz where he discusses whether this is mutter or usser. Yaakov Emden thinks it's absolutely usser. And it's fascinating. I had seen the Pesachei Tshuva in the past. This past year, a couple weeks ago, Parshas Yisro, 2 weeks ago, I took a look. I want to actually see some more of the story. I looked in the tshuva. The tshuva is lengthy. And then you look back at the Pesachei Tshuva, it's amazing how much of the tshuva is already familiar just from reading the Pesachei Tshuva. It had exceptional skill at being able to summarize and maintain so much of the flavor. So usually, 9 times out of 10, he's quoting tshuva literature, Shilas and Tshuvas. Every once in a while, he'll quote a Sefer Halacha, or he'll quote a Sefer of Chidushim, Rishon Rechon and Shas. So here he actually quotes a Sefer Halacha. He quotes the Chachmas Adam. You're probably familiar with the Chai Adam, with Avram Danzig, who was a contemporary neighbor and mechutin of the Gra. So Chai Adam is Sefer he wrote on Ar Chaim, and then he wrote Chachmas Adam on Yaredeya and bits of Evan Ezra Choshen Mishpat. So here, take a look in the Pesachei Tshuva, little letters in Sifkat and Zayin. Ayein, the Sefer Binas Adam. The Binas Adam is a part of the Chachmas Adam. That's the footnotes that he wrote on himself. So the Mishnah Berurah writes his own footnotes. So the Chachmas Adam has on the top, he has just the Kitzur Dinim, and then the Binas Adam is like the Bir Halacha. He has a more lengthy analysis. So the Binas Adam on Shar Beis Hei. Beis Hei stands for Beis Hanashim. The Chachmas Adam divide his Sefer into different sections, different topics. So those topics that relate to Nashim are in the segment called Beis HaNashim. So you take a look in the Bina Saz, Meshar Beis HaNashim, Simen Chav Zayin, She Kasav, didn't know a lot of Rosh Tevis here, Denir Elo. The Chacham Zadim writes, it seems to him the following. Forget about Mrs. Schneider in her apartment, and Mr. Schneider is in the same city, but an hour away in the garment district. How about Mrs. Schneider is not in her apartment at all? Chachmas Adam writes, "The davka bevesa ein ba mishum yichud." The whole heter of baila be'ir, the whole concept, which is baila be'ir, if Pesachei Tshuva wraps from here to here, the whole concept of baila be'ir is only if she's home. She's home. So then she's home. The husband's elsewhere in town. So then there's no someone else in her home with her. No concern of yichud because it's baila be'ir. Avim holechas lebayis acher. She's going to go somewhere else. She's at work. She's at the office. Or she's in someone else's office. You have a married female psychotherapist. She sees patients in her office, and in a therapeutic context, if it's individual therapy, not couples therapy or family therapy, so typically you want privacy. You want a situation where you're comfortable, you know, sharing, being vulnerable and sharing very personal thoughts and experiences with the therapist without other people listening in. So typically, in a therapeutic context, you want to have privacy. So the question is, here this Mrs. Schneider is really Dr. Schneider. So Dr. Schneider, Dr. Gila Schneider is a therapist, and she's a psychologist, and she's going to be seeing clients in her office. So is she allowed to have male clients? Or is that a problem with Yichud? No one else is there. It's only Dr. Schneider and her client. So you say, well, maybe one solution is if she and her husband work in the same city, Baal Be'ir, we solve the problem. Right? If she's single, it's not going to help. Or if the husband is not around, it's not going to help. But if she has a husband and the husband is Ba'ir, so it sounds like you have a solution. Says the Chachos Adam, absolutely not. Baal Be'ir is only when she's home, not when she's at the office. Why? Why does Chachos Adam say that?
Why is she checking on the wife at work?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's more of a chance that the husband will check in at home as opposed to work.
Yeah. Right. And based on what? You're all making a sharp point based on which Rishon. Right. Rashi had said, what did Rashi say in the Gemara? Baal Be'ir is mutter because stuff me baal hashtasi. She's always concerned. Maybe the husband's going to pop in. Say, yeah, at home he's going to pop in. But he's not. Eventually he's coming home. He's not eventually showing up to her office. Yeah.
So if he were to work like a floor up or across the hall.
Good. Right. So if they're in a, if it's a space, right. So Yishai makes the point that chachana doesn't necessarily mean at home. The point is not so much at home as much as a place where the husband is likely to pop in. Let's take a look. In halachas lebayis acher, back in Pizchichu, v'afapi shebal bi'ir, even the husband's in town, yeshba b'shem yichud, there's still yichud concern if she's not at home. De'bezeh lo shayich de'mistafi mi'bayil ha'ashtasi. The language that Rashi has, that in the back of her mind, she knows the husband may pop in, that's irrelevant. Kevin she'en yodeya heichani. It may be a situation he doesn't even know where she is. She went somewhere else in town. He doesn't even know, you wouldn't even know where to find her. O'af b'yodas. Or if she knows that he does know, but he's not necessarily going to show up. He's not necessarily going to show up. We'll pause here for a moment. We'll come back to the Pizchei Tshuva. So let's recap what we had, and there are a number of guys also waiting for questions, and then we have to take it a step further. So we have so far is that Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chachmas Adam, Pizchei Tshuva Kohen and Chachmas Adam, are both pointing out that leaving aside the Gemara's limitation of Baal Be'ir, namely, it only applies when it's not Libo Gaspa, when they aren't particularly friendly or hamish with each other. Leaving that aside, Baal Be'ir has plenty of other limitations. It's only when the concern of Hashta'asi is a real, legitimate concern. So it has to be that she's in a place where her husband will be coming back, or at least as Rav Gross pointed out, he knows where she is, and there's a fair likelihood he's going to show up. And not only that, the location where she is at is one where the husband is aware of and is likely to show up, but also in terms of his location, and that was Moshe Feinstein's point, that he's in a place and he's in a context where he could make his way to her relatively quickly, as opposed to, it's a 45-minute train ride, as opposed to he's in the middle of his 12-hour shift in the sweatshop. So if he's locked up, so then either mitzida or mitzido, there may be the context may be such that the background for Baal Be'ir is not in force, and therefore the heter is not in force. Chaim and Akiva, you were both waiting very patiently with questions. Well, they're stretching. Okay, good. I'm glad you stretched. Yeah, Akiv.
My question got answered in my answer to the question.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Is the concern
that the man is going to, like, we're worried about the man doing the action, then how would I be able to be her help? Because even if she's afraid that her husband would come in, it doesn't stop him from.
Right. Well, he may also know that she's a married woman, she's at home, the husband may pop in. He would probably not be particularly thrilled to have this woman's husband find him in a compromising position, number one. Number two, the concern of yichud is built on a concern of pitoy, not a concern of onus. The primary scenario, the possibility that drives Isser Yichud is a possibility of consensual znos. Tragically, there's been too much in the news. I don't mean the tragedy has been too much in the news. Tragically, there's been too much happening with situations of onus. I'm sure you're all familiar with. I hope you're all familiar. I'm not sure. Being that the Wolder story tragically has happened, Baruch Hashem, it came to light. Tragically, he was a criminal in Russia. Baruch Hashem, it came to light. Unfortunately, it's the reality, but it's important that you should be aware. So rape and assault do happen. If you are aware of someone who is a victim, you should encourage them to seek help, and you should encourage them to seek help for them, psychological help for themselves, and reach out to the authorities to save other people. And you should reach out to people who can give you support. Rape and assault do happen. They are, Baruch Hashem, far rarer than consensualness. So the Isser of Yichud is not built off of a concern of onus. When onus occurs, it's a tremendous chet and tremendously damaging and needs to be addressed. But the Isser of Yichud is built on the more common scenario of a pitoy, of something consensual. So that's really, as we said in Peyam and Beis, the most common scenario is that the man may initiate it, but that they're both ultimately willing. What we're concerned with is a situation where it's consensual, they're both willing participants. That's why either one being very hesitant is enough to put the damper on an Isser Yichud. Yeah, Avidan.
Could you change it from bile of the ear to, like, brothers, theoretically? Where, like, you have two brothers who live in the same house, and then one brother not.
So Avidai makes a very important point, which is the husband doesn't really seem to be unique. It's not really about a husband, it's just that there's someone who's likely, who has access and likelihood of showing up. So one common scenario is a married woman at home. She has a husband in town, so the husband soon later is going to pop in, maybe soon. Avidan's pointing out, it doesn't have to be anything, it doesn't have to be, stam, if there's other people, if I'm in an office, and there are other people who have access who may be coming in, I'm in any type of space, if there are members of the family, or co-workers, or associates, who may be popping in, you're right. Where we're at with Baal Be'er right now, it sounds like a husband is just a common example, like Dibru Behove, but there's nothing unique about a husband. That's a very sharp point, which we're going to have to return to. Right now, we're within one perspective on Baal Be'er, which we're going to develop a little more, and we'll take a step back and see if there could be other perspectives. You're right. Rashi said, Mustafin Baal Hashtasi, right. It could be with anyone who's likely to pop in. Yeah, Binyamin.
I don't understand why we would say that just if she was in another place that we wouldn't be worried. Like, even if she was at home, like, let's say she knows that her husband goes to night theater at 6 to 8 o'clock, then obviously, like, she's not going to be worried that he's going to pop in between that time.
So that's what Akiva pointed out. That's what Moshe Feinstein's ha'ara. There are several limitations playing out. Rashi's lamdas gives you, practically speaking, several limitations on Baal Be'er. It has to be that she's in a place that where the husband is likely to pop in, or knows where she is and is likely to pop in, most likely home. Although, as my gross point, that could also be somewhere else, but a place where he knows where she is and he's likely to pop in. And he is free to do that. He's close enough and available enough that he can pick himself up and.
How close is close?
Close that he could show up soon. Let's hold off on soon for a little bit. When we get to Pesach Pasuach, the next sugya we'll talk more about timing, and maybe when we wrap up, we'll talk even more about timing, the sugya and sota, and see how it's relevant.
Does the call also count? Let's say he can FaceTime or something, like, is that considered checking in on his wife?
Well, what stops him from
moving
the camera so
he can't
see?
That's a very good question. The question of cameras has become increasingly relevant, obviously with the ubiquity of webcams.
If they have, like a webcam or something. And like a
great question. Great question. Let's hold off with that as well. Let's hold off until we get to Sugya Pesach Pasuach, which is a more sort of central location for having that conversation. Yeah, one or two more questions, then we'll come back to
this. They have to be the person who, like, the fact that there might be someone walking in would be related or connected to the woman, or could it be that the man has some, like, it's...
Presumably any shomer. Anyone who qualifies as a shomer. Going back to earlier, the husband certainly, but presumably any of them, kashim, would offhand, should be sufficient. Which, again, is interesting. It broadens the kula. At the same time, I don't know if you could say it's an outright kasha, but it's a little bit curious. It's a little bit curious that we said bile of the ear in such a narrow way, when really this is one example of something far broader. Why did Rabbah phrase it in such a specific way? As an example, it certainly makes Rashi curious. Yehuda.
So if you leave the door unlocked, where anyone could walk.
Well, come to unlocked door is Pesach Pasuach.
But probably no one. Meaning it's your house.
We'll get to Pesach Pasuach. Very, very, very good.
Very, very good.
You're essentially asking, what I said is curious, doesn't Baal Be'er just become Pesach Pasuach? Someone could come in. Maybe the door is locked, only the husband could come in. If the door is unlocked, they don't come.
Someone could physically come in, but no one's actually going to. Chances are.
Okay, so we'll have to think about it. Yeah.
Can a husband, or like whoever it is, designate that certain people it would be okay for the wife to be.
Excellent question. That you must. If you were not picking the Pesach Tshuva, then maybe we should call you Avram Benov for today. Because you're just mechaber to the next line of Avram Gansing. Pesach Tshuva quotes from the Chafos Adam. He says he starts talking about the husband designating people. Why is he talking about it? Because he's worried about the following kasha. I told you this approach, Rashi is it's curious. Tzarki and Ksas maybe Sadia and Kuf. That the Gemara would have said Baal Be'er instead of giving the larger category, that someone can come. A real kasha, an out-and-out kasha, is the following. How do you understand? The Gemara had said, well, Libo Gaspa is an exception to Baal Be'er. So the Chachazanim says, how does that work? I don't understand. You're worried the husband is going to pop in. The husband may come in at any time. Right? He's not 45 minutes away. He's not in the middle of work. He's not in the middle of a night seder. I don't know when he's coming. He may be coming in 20 minutes. He may be coming in a minute. He'd be coming any moment. Okay, so I understand. In that case, Mustafi Balash Dasi. So then there's no yichud because he could be popping in. It isn't really privacy. Then the Chachozan says, 1 second. So, but if Libo Gaspa. If they're cousins, if they grew up together, if they knew each other back when, then all of a sudden that neutralizes Baal Be'er. Chacham Zan says, pray tell, how does that work? I don't understand. But the husband can still be popping in at any moment. What does it help that? Why does Libo Gaspa matter? Lamaisa, the husband may waltz in at any moment. So that should neutralize the Yichud regardless of who the people involved are. Right? That's the chal. Now, the Pesachei Tshuva doesn't give you the whole shock of Atariya. Pesachei Tshuva just gives you the bottom line. That's his summarizing. The bottom line. The Chal Chazam says, it must be. What's Pratin Libo Gaspa, says the Chal Chazam. It must be that really Libo Gaspa is just an example. Not specifically that they're actually friendly, just that it's not so suspicious that they happen to be together, and therefore why? So the Chachazan says, it's not Mistafi Ba Hashta Asi that the fact the husband may walk in at the moment that they're in an act of znus that's going to restrain them, but it's Bechlal, the fact the husband can walk in, they're alone together for a half hour, the whole thing looks a little odd, as well it should, it is odd. So the husband's going to walk in, they know that the husband may walk in any moment and find the two of them together, and why are you guys sitting there together? So the fact that they know the husband can walk in and find them in a awkward looking, just sitting at a table talking to each other, but that's awkward. So Mamela, that's what's getting, that's what's holding them back. Says Chachzah, says, ah, but if it makes sense that they're together, either because Libo Gaspa, yeah, because this is an old friend, this is a cousin. Or the Chachzah says, for some other reason, maybe they don't have any relationship, but it makes sense that he's there. The electrician is in the house. The plumber is in the house. He's not friendly with the wife, but it's not suspicious that he's there. He's there for a reason. Or as the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chachmas Adam, in Baila Nason La Rishus Alecha Zabeis Ploni, as a husband said, it's okay. I go ahead and meet with so and so in his house. Certainly, if she said, I know you need to have a private conversation with so-and-so, go ahead, Gizim Tehit. That last line is a praesis, a summary of the Chachmas Adam's treatment of Libo Gaspa. Now, the Chachmas Adam is correct that according to Rashi, Lahore, that's how you're going to get backed into a quarter. But what it points to is that this approach of Rashi is very, very difficult. Number one, as we say, there are practical nafka means, okay, which is or isn't. Okay, so according to Rashi, you're going to limit Pesach Bayil Be'ir rather to cases where the husband will actually show up, and she's in a place, and he's in a place, and he's in a context. He could mamash actually show up, and it does, in addition to that, practically limiting the scope of Bayil Be'ir, and as we see, raises two kashas. Number one, it's not really anything husband specific. It's nothing spousal about it. But it'll be just an example of someone might show up. Okay, it's a little odd that the Gemara would have chosen to take such a broad category and just give this one very specific seeming spousal example, Baal Be'ir. And number two, as the Chacham Zan is pointing out, it's hard to figure out how Libo Gaspa works. And the pshat that gives it really just means that it's suspicious. It's difficult. So the Chazon Ish develops the idea. The Dvar Halacha is a modern classic on Hilchos Yichud. This is the sefer you want to have. And when it says one sefer you're going to have post Shulchan Aruch, learn Hilchos Yichud. Dvar Halacha was a Talmud Chacham who lived in the late 20th century, of Avraham Horowitz. I think he wrote a number of Sfarim, but I believe he is most famous for Dvar Halacha on Hilchos Yichud. And he was connected with a lot of major poskim, Litvish and Hasidish in Eretz Yisrael. Connected with Shlomo Zalman, he was connected with the Dovid Meisharan, the Tshibin Rav, and he had a close relationship with his peers, with the Chazon Ish as well. And the number of Piskei Halacha that he heard from the Chazon Ish, that he heard from Tamim of the Chazon Ish, one of the most significant is the following. The Chazon Ish said, and it's already in an earlier Achron Mekulin, the Chidah, that that's not what Baal Be'ir. Baal Be'ir does not have to do with a practical concern that the husband, if it's true, the husband will show up. Okay, that certainly neutralizes Isser Yichud. But that's really, the husband actually show up, that's Pesach Pasuach. That's not unique to anything spousal. That's just, if someone can, practically speaking, as Yehuda pointed out, not just in theory someone could walk in, but someone actually might walk in, that's most likely Pesach Pasuach. We'll get to that when we get to Pesach Pasuach. But that's something more general. The Chazon Ish understood that Baal Be'ir is, even when the husband's not actually going to pop in, the fact that her husband is around, she's a married woman, and her husband's around, the husband's proximity, even if there's no chance of him actually walking through the door, is already an inhibiting factor. And that, and on the other hand, if she's particularly comfortable with the man with whom she's sitting right now, so the comfort, the Libo Gaspa, is disinhibiting, and that's going to counter the inhibiting impact of her husband's proximity. It's as the Chazon Ish said, Baal Be'ir is on nerve. Baal Be'ir is psychological. It's not a practical, logistical, he may walk through the door. It's a state of mind. My husband is nearby. I'm in a different. It's a different frame of reference. It's a different state of mind. And it's probably already a machlokas harishonim, because Rashi said that the logic for Baal Pi'ir is Mustafa Mibal Hashtasi. She's concerned the husband may show up now. That's very, very specific and very targeted. Which other explanation do we come across in Rishonim for the logic behind Baal Pi'ir, the mechanism for Baal Pi'ir? What else did we see? We didn't see the Rishonim side, we saw him quoted. We saw him quoted. Chaim. Shnei Chaim. The Truma Sadashin. Okay, what did the Truma Sadashin say? I'm looking for someone even earlier, but good.
That it can become nefarious.
Okay, good. And the Truma Sadashin had expanded, Libo Gaspa to inappropriate familiarity of Kinila Baila, not just inappropriate. Yes, I'm comfortable with my cousin, I'm comfortable with my sister-in-law, even a highly inappropriate, infamous Kina Labaila. And who quoted this Truma Sadeshin? We didn't see Truma Sadeshin side either. Beishmol and the Shulchan Aruch. Who else did Shulchan Aruch quote?
Tosus.
Who else did Shulchan Aruch quote verbatim?
The Rambam.
How do I know that Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam? I could look in the Rambam, or I could just look. The Be'er Hagola might tell me. The language does not. The language of the Shulchan Aruch here, other than that line at the end by Kinla Baila, that clause is from the Truma Sadeshin. The rest of it is the Rambam. And what does he quote from the Rambam? Isha Shabaila Be'ir, beginning of the Shulchan Aruch Sivches, in Choshen L'Zachedi Ma, Mipnei She'emaz Bala Aleha. So the Chidah and the Chazanish point out, and with this we close, the Chidah and the Chazanish point out that Emas Baal Aleha is not the targeted, specific, the following event may happen that Rashi talks about, Mustafa Baal Hashtasi. The Chidah and the Chazanish and a number of other Achronim that the Dvar Halacha line up understand that that means, more generally, the fact the husband's in my proximity is inhibiting. Unless there's a disinhibition from the fact that I'm Hamish with whoever the person is. Libo Gaspa. Mimela, it doesn't matter whether the husband can actually walk in the door. As long as you are Ba'ir, that's already going to be in play. It changes the definition of Libo Gaspa. One or two more nafkamiyas, which we will close this sugya, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow.